over the last couple of weeks, and we've been looking at the Spirit-filled church and different aspects of the Spirit-filled church. And this week, we're going to look at the Spirit-filled church in community, or how I would like to say it. Because when we talk about church, we usually think of institution, really. When I say church, you think of corporate setting. But really, I'm talking about men and women. I'm talking about boys and girls. When Jesus said, "I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail," he wasn't talking about a building or an institution. He was talking about you. He was talking about people. You. The gates of hell cannot withstand you. That's what he was talking about. So when we talk about the Holy Spirit in community, we're not talking about a church building and community. We're talking about people filled with the Holy Spirit in community. I'll be reading from the book of Acts. That book is called The Acts of the Apostles. But actually, it's a bit of a misnomer, because really the book should be called The Acts of the Holy Spirit through the Apostles. Amen? So this morning, that's what I want to kind of talk to you about. I'm going to challenge you with a question. Well, actually, I'm going to ask the person sat next to you to challenge you with the question. Okay? That was easier on me. I don't feel so bad then, because it's not me asking you the question, it's the person next to you. And here's the question that we're going to be looking at through the service. Are you available? Now, I need to qualify that before you accept a proposal. I mean, what I mean by that is, are you available for the Holy Spirit? That's the question we're going to be exploring. Are you available? Amen. Amen. I'm going to be reading from Acts chapter 3 and also a little bit from chapter 4. So my reading is going to start in Acts chapter 3, verse 1 to 16, and it will go on to chapter 4. It says this. Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer. It was the ninth hour. For us, that's about 3 p.m. in the afternoon. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful. The man was asking for alms from those who entered the temple. Upon seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him, together with John, Peter said, "Look at us. Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. I'm going to skip ahead to chapter 4. Now, as they spoke to the people, the priests, the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees came upon them, being greatly disturbed that they taught the people and preached in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. However, many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to about 5,000. And it came to pass on the next day that their rulers, elders, and scribes, as well as Annas the high priest, Caiaphas, John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the family of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, "By what power or by what name have you done this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well, let it be known to you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled and they realized that they had been with Jesus. Hallelujah. Power. Power. Now, the question that's been asked of this passage, how was it that this lame beggar, lame from birth, who was daily brought to the temple, well, the gates leading into the temple, all his life, how is it that he missed Jesus? How is it that he never encountered Jesus? We don't know. It doesn't tell us. Maybe the people that would bring him out were just never there when Jesus was ministering. But not even in the life of Jesus. In the life of Peter and John, I wonder if they've encountered this man before. He was brought there every day. How many times have Peter and John gone past the temple? Maybe they've seen the man. Maybe they know him. Maybe they've given him money before. But on this occasion, something was different. I wonder how many people you rub shoulders with every day in the course of your daily life. I wonder how many people, just in your coming and going, that you rarely give a second thought to. I wonder how many people the Holy Spirit has set an appointed time when their lives are going to be touched and changed by you. Do you live in that expectation? We should actually live in that expectation, because the Bible tells us that it is for that reason that we've been given the Holy Spirit. Amen? On this occasion, something was different. Maybe on this occasion, they remembered, oh yeah, the lame beggar, Paul. No, it wasn't Paul, it was John and Peter. Peter, have you got any money? Peter says, no, John, I haven't got any money. What are we going to do? So they go up to the man and say, really sorry, mate, I haven't got any money today. But what I do have, what I do have. We read that story and oftentimes we think that this was something that was unique to Peter. This was a unique gift that he had. This was a special occasion that was just for the apostles at that time 2,000 years ago. And there's some churches that believe that. But I want to tell you this morning, that is not true. Peter himself said that this promise is for you and for your children and for your children's children and for any who would believe. This promise of the presence, the power, and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. See, the Bible tells us something. In 1 Corinthians 12, where am I? In verse 3, it says, no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. No one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. This means that if you're in this place today, and you believe with all of your heart that Jesus is the Lord of Lords, that he died and rose again, it means that the Holy Spirit is birthed in you. We call that being born again. And if the Holy Spirit is birthed in you, the Bible has promised that you have a spiritual gift. You have an endowment of power within you. Is the Bible the Word of God? Is the Bible true? Well, this is what it says. It says, now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. That word, each one, can be translated everyone. Everybody. Everybody who declares that Jesus is the Lord. To each one, to everybody who believes that Jesus is Lord, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. What is the common good? That common good can also be interpreted as the community. To everyone who believes, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the community, the Holy Spirit in community. There was always a purpose in it. Is the Word of God true? This is talking about you guys. Did you know that? You are the everyone that it's talking about. To one, there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing. It's talking about you. It's not talking about people. It's talking about you, right? To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, the distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one. That is to everyone. Just as he... Is the Word of God true this morning? Because you guys are looking at me. This is talking about you, right? Amen. It lists 9 gifts here. But those, we know that in Ephesians 4 there are also ministry gifts. We know that in Romans 12 there are also gifts of edification. So this isn't an exclusive list. For Peter, it was the gift of miracles. But for you, it might be something different. But if you are in this room and you believe with all your heart that Jesus is the Lord of Lords, that He died for you and that He rose again, you've been born of the Spirit. And what that means is that it comes with perks. You have a spiritual gift. Unfortunately, for much of the church today, a lot of Christians don't know what their spiritual gift is. And there's nothing wrong with that. We all grow as we come to maturity in Christ. We go through stages. So that was a time I didn't know. So I want you to just nudge the person next to you. And very quietly, without anyone knowing, just ask them, do you know what your spiritual gift is? Just nudge them. It's okay. We grow in Christ. We grow in Christ, okay? So just nudge somebody. Don't let anyone know that you're nudging them. Just whisper. You see, and then nudge them again, okay? Nudge them again and say, are you available for the Holy Spirit to ignite the gift within you? Just ask them quietly, are you available for the Holy Spirit to ignite the gift within you? Because you see, it doesn't really matter whether you know what gift you have, whether you don't know what your gift is, whether you're sure or unsure. The point is this, are you available for the Holy Spirit to set that thing on fire and send you off into the community so that you transform the people around you? That's the important thing. Are you available? Peter and John passed that man I don't know how many times. But in this occasion, something had been ignited within them. And the people around you have been placed there for a purpose. Your friends, your colleagues, your neighbors. This is why it's so important to make friends, to be kind and compassionate, to get to know people. This is why it's so important to be open, so that there's a freer communication. Something about the world that we live in. The world is desperately trying to convince itself. Desperately trying to convince itself that it's not in bondage to darkness. Society is fractured. It's overtaken by sin, wickedness. People desperately trying to cover over the fact that they are hurting. That they are broke. Let me talk about myself. I have bad days. I have days when I'm thinking, oh, come on. I have rotten days. I have days when I'm hurting. I have days when I'm in, do you know what I mean? And I am a child of God. And I understand who I am in Christ. You need to understand that the people in the world are very often lonely and afraid and don't know the answers. You need to understand that people are insecure and lost. They have no real sense of meaning and purpose and inner security. That peace that you have because of the knowledge of God, they don't have. Don't underestimate the power of forgiveness, the power that you have when you know that you are forgiven by God Almighty and there is no condemnation. Because the world is crippled by guilt and shame and they don't know how to deal with it. They don't know how to release it. So it comes out in anger and depression and all kinds of ways. People in our society don't know who they are. There is an epidemic of people trying to find their identity and trying to label themselves with this or that because they feel that will give them identity. They don't know what it means to be identified. I am a child of God. I was made. I'm wonderfully and I was made for purpose. I have a destiny. I am redeemed and I'm saved. I have an eternal inheritance. You have no idea the power of sense, the sense of security I need. That you have in Christ when you know who you are. Amen. So we see an epidemic sweeping through our world of people not knowing how to label themselves. They don't know how to identify anymore. Let nobody tell you. Let nobody lie to you that the world doesn't need what you have inside of you. Don't let anyone try and convince you that the Jesus that you have, the world doesn't need it. Don't let them try and tell you that, oh, it's just your truth for you. It will transform their lives if they were to touch it. Don't let anyone put you in a box, make you feel that what you have is just for you. Or it has no power beyond just personal, private faith. It changes life. It's like fire. Fire burns what it comes in contact with. The world needs what you have. The gift that the Holy Spirit has given for you is for you to use to heal the brokenhearted. It is for you to speak freedom to those who are held captive, emotional, mental bondage, all kinds of captivity. That thing that the Holy Spirit has put inside of you is for you to speak truth and give sight to the blind. Bring light to darkness. Bring relief for people who are oppressed. That thing that the Holy Spirit has put inside of you is for your community. The Bible says that when Jesus saw the people, he was moved with compassion and he healed them. This is Matthew 14:14. We also see Peter being moved with compassion when he saw the need for this beggar. This beggar's need wasn't just for silver and gold. See, society is good at meeting that physical need and that material need. But there's a spiritual need and there's a spiritual hunger that all of society's everything is completely bankrupt to meet. It doesn't have any answers for it. It can't even speak to that spiritual hunger. But you have it. You have it inside of you. There are people that don't know what it is to know the presence of God. There are people who don't know what it is to be in that place of fellowship with the Holy Spirit. People who don't know what it is to be in worship, just lost in wonder, singing, and just being able to pour your heart out to God. People who just have no idea how stabilizing, how fulfilling that is. We must be moved with compassion for those who are lost. We must be. Not everyone is okay. There are people that are lost and hurting and are standing on a ledge. Now, if we go back to the book, and this is, I'm going to start bringing it to land. If we go back to the book of Acts, we see that Peter makes a statement in chapter 4. And I want to highlight this statement, and I really want to reinforce it, because this is where the rubber hits the road for us. It really is. Peter starts preaching. The religious rulers come and arrest him, throw him into jail. They ask him, by what power or by what name have you done this thing? By what power or by what name have you done this thing? Now, allow me to be facetious for just 1 minute. Peter didn't respond to say, well, it was for charity that I wanted to do it. Charity is good, and giving to charity is good. Peter didn't say it was because of social justice. This man is a victim, and I want to reinstate him to society. That is good. It is worthy of our time and our effort. But he didn't lead with that. He didn't even say to address the issue of poverty, which is good and which is what we should do. But he didn't lead with that. What did he lead with? The name of Jesus Christ. I did this because of Jesus. I did this because of Jesus. It says in verse 8, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit. That's a whole nother sermon right there. Filled with the Holy Spirit. That's a prerequisite. Said to them, rulers of the people, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, a good deed done to a helpless man. The man was lame from birth, couldn't walk. You did something that raised this man up that has never walked in his life. You're calling that a good deed? A good deed is giving him money. A good deed would be giving him something to eat, right? A good deed would say, oh, come, I'll give you a wash at home. That's it. What you did. But you see, for Peter, that wasn't the focus. For Peter, that wasn't the important thing. For Peter, he didn't say, come and see the miracle. Ringing about, bing, 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 bing. Miracle, miracle. Nah. For Peter, it was just a good deed done to a helpless man. For me, that would have been, my name would have been in lights. Do you know what I mean? I'd be touring the country. Do you see what I mean? For Peter, nah, it's just a good deed done to a help. If you're asking me, let it be known to you all that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, he went straight to Jesus, straight to the cross, lifted Jesus up, straight away. For Peter, it was all about the gospel. But for us, this is where the rubber hits the road. Because Peter says that there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Friends, we do have to meet the practical, physical needs of those around us. The Holy Spirit will always compel you to respond in loving kindness to the people that He has put around you. He will always ask you to reflect an aspect of God's glory, whether it's God's peace or God's justice or God's truth. He will always prompt you to reflect an aspect of the King, His love, His mercy, His grace, always. Always. But when you combine that with the power of the truth of the gospel, that's when Holy Spirit power is released in you. That's when combustion happens. I can't really remember my physics. So for a fire to start, somebody help me. For your fire to start, you need three things. What are the three things you need to start a fire? Oxygen, thank you. Heat, yes. Fuel. I'd have to take your word for that. Amen. When you combine the presence of the Holy Spirit with your gifting in action, and then you add that, the power of the Word of God, you have fire. You have fire every single time. You will have fire. You will elicit a response. Something will be released in the Spirit. A power will go forth. You might not see it with your naked eyes, but you will get a reaction. You will get a reaction. That reaction might be the person falling on their knees, weeping, or that reaction might be vehement. That is also a spiritual reaction. When people turn around and say, "How dare you?" Because you've touched something. Because truth has pierced something. The Bible says that the Word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword, and it pierces. It pierces the conscience. So there is always a release of power when those three things are combined. The rubber hits the road because often we shrink back because of the confrontation or because of that reaction. Oh, for the boldness of Peter. Oh, for the boldness of Peter. But friends, I want to encourage you before I kind of bring us in. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Unfortunately, the world that we live in, the hostility that comes with proclaiming the name of Jesus is real and it's true. And that fear can manifest itself in different ways. The fear of conflict, fear of losing friends, fear of losing jobs. It's real. It's real. Fear of arrest, because there are laws now about inciting hatred and that kind of stuff. And when you talk about gender and sexuality, it causes another type of offense. But I want to tell you, friends, that this is the life and the truth that this world needs. There is no other substitute. There's nowhere else the world can go to find life. This is the healing that the broken world needs. But they just don't know it. We used to have a pet dog. This is probably a bad analogy. I'm not relating people to dogs. Please forgive me for that. But I remember our dog. He was called Hero. He got hurt. He was wounded and he was bleeding. And I remember my mom. I had the dog when I was 8, and it was my 8th. The dog was my birthday present on my 8th birthday. But you know, years later he got hurt in the night and he was bleeding and he was yelping and all that. And I remember my mom wanted to go and see to him. And he was like, he was just wild, you know. And my mom was saying to me, "Don't worry, it's just because he's in pain. It's just because he's in pain." My mom was trying to tend the wound, but the dog didn't understand, so he was lashing out. So the good, the healing, the medicine that was needed, there was a reaction against that because of just a lack of understanding. The Holy Spirit will always prompt you to act in compassion, in loving kindness. The Holy Spirit will never ask you to be rude or be imposing or step on people's toes or be arrogant. Never. Always tender, always kind, always to meet a need, always to respond in love. But you see, the Bible says that the Spirit of the Lord is upon you, yes, to heal the brokenhearted. Yes, to give sight to the blind. Yes, to release the captives. Amen? But you know, that's from Luke 4. But you know, before it says that, what does it say? It says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach. The very first thing that it talks about is speaking the truth of God. And just like a fire that needs oxygen, fuel, and heat, that life-transforming power of God needs those demonstrations of a manifestation of God alongside that gift that He has given you and the proclamation of the name of Jesus. It is an opening for you to speak truth. But the question is, are you available? Are you available? There are many things that hold us back. Many, many things that hold us back. We think we're inadequate. We think, I don't know what to say. We think, well, I don't have time. We think, well, you don't know my work situation. There are all kinds of things. It's interesting what it says about Peter. It says in Acts 4:13, it says, when they saw the boldness of Peter, where did he get this boldness from? Thank you. And perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men. This means that they were illiterate. They had no formal schooling. They hadn't been to school a day in their lives. And when it says untrained, it means that they had no theological training. The scribes, the Pharisees, they would have had a theological training. But for these men, they hadn't been to school, one, and they had no theological training whatsoever. Where are they getting this boldness from? But they perceived that they had been with Jesus. See, all that matters is how much time you spend with Jesus. That's all that matters. Your availability to the Holy Spirit. Because arguments don't save people. Debates don't save people. Do you know what I mean? It never has, never will. The power of God isn't in a debate or clever eloquence. That's not what God put the power. He put it in the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the power of God for salvation to everyone who would believe. Unfortunately, we can't get around it. We can't get around it. We have to speak Christ. There's just no way around it. There's no other thing that God has given us. Not even, dare I say it, not even the act of kindness on their own. You could work at a food bank all you want, but if you don't tell that person that they need to come to the cross of Jesus Christ, please stay at the food bank. It is good, and it's what we should be doing. But you do both together. Okay. I'm going to ask the band to come back up. Because in the last 10 minutes, I want us to respond to the Holy Spirit, if you'd allow me. I'd like you to respond to the Holy Spirit, because right from this morning, the Holy Spirit is in the house. In a minute, I'm going to ask you to talk with the person next to you a little bit. But first, what I want us to do would be to present ourselves to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has given you a gift. The Holy Spirit has located you in a place. But I want to ask you this morning, have you made yourself available to the Holy Spirit? What do I mean by that? That availability is the time that you spend just with Him. You disconnect from the world. You switch off your phone. You turn off Netflix. And it's just you and the Holy Spirit. And in that space, you listen to His word. In that space, you worship. In that space, you offload to Him. And in that space, you still yourself to hear Him. Jesus says that we need to do that every day. Every day. Every day. Are you available to the Holy Spirit? We're going to just play this song. And while this song plays, I want you to just engage with the Holy Spirit. I want you to present yourself to Him. Then I'm going to ask you to ask Him a question. And then I'm going to ask you to talk to the people around you. And then we'll close our service. But for now, just begin to engage with the Holy Spirit. We're not going to have a time of communion. But what if we had, I'd have asked you to come before the cross. If there are things that you know in your heart that, not so good, you put them right. If there are things that you know have blocked you and the Holy Spirit, you make a decision, say, okay, Holy Spirit, I'm going to put that right. So I'm just going to let you two, you and the Holy Spirit, do business for 5 minutes, and then I'll come back. We are here for you. Come and do what you do. We are here for you. Come and do what you do. Set a heart on you. Come and do, because we need you, Lord. We need your move, Lord God. We need you to come and ignite us, Holy Spirit. We need you to come and awaken all that you put inside of us, Holy Spirit. We need you to come and empower us, Holy Spirit. We need you to bring us to that place of availability, Holy Spirit. We need you. We need you. We need you, Lord. Let's sing that again. We are here for you. We are here for you. Come and do what you do. We are here for you. Come and set our hearts on you, Lord God. Set our hearts on you. Come and do what you do. We need a move. Yes, Holy Spirit, we need you this morning. We need a move. We need you, Lord. We need a move. Make ourselves available to you, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, let there be nothing that holds us back, Lord God, because we need you.
We need
you. This world needs you. Our friends, our family, they need you. Our colleagues, they need you. They need your truth. They need your freedom. They need the liberation, oh God. We need you, Lord God. With the Holy Spirit. You just present yourself to the Holy Spirit. You know your availability, whether it's in the morning or in the evening. You know your availability at work. You know your availability in your playtime. You know those places that are off limits to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit wants you to be available every moment, everywhere you go. Yes, you are you available? Will you make yourself available? In the morning, will you make yourself available for him to speak to you and to lead you? In the evening, will you make yourself available? What about when you're at work? Is it off limits? When you're with your friends, is it off limits? He wants you to be available so he can ignite those giftings within you. He wants you to be available so that that person that you've been walking past, that person who you've been rubbing shoulders with, that person, it is when their moment comes, when that appointed time comes, you will hear and you will speak, and all the giftings that he has put inside of you will come to life, and somebody's life will be changed. Someone who was lame would walk. Someone who was blind would see. Someone who was bound would be set free. But would you be available in that moment? Will you be ready and available and on fire in that moment? I want you to ask the Holy Spirit now to bring to mind somebody. Somebody's going to come to your mind. Somebody's going to come into your heart. Don't know, it might be a colleague, a friend, a family member, a relative. It might be someone in this room. It might be someone here, so feel free to look around. But you engage with the Holy Spirit, said, who is it, Lord? Who is it? Who have I been walking past all this time? Who is it that is broken? Who is it that needs life? Who is it that's on the edge? Barely holding it all together. They've covered it up. It seems that everything's fine on the outside. Who is it, Lord? Who is it? I want you to ask the Holy Spirit, who is it? I want you to ask the Holy Spirit, what is it you want me to do? Do I invite them out? Do I take them to lunch? What is it, Holy Spirit, you want me to do? You see, that's where your gifting comes in. Because He will move you towards your gifting. He will move you in that which He knows that you're capable of. That which you enjoy anyway, it comes naturally to you. He will move you into that place of gifting. So just engage with the Holy Spirit this morning. I make myself available, Lord. Just tell me who, when, and where. Holy Spirit, ignite that gifting within me, Lord God. Ignite that gifting within me, Lord God. We need to move. 'Cause mountains are still being moved. And strongholds are still being loosed. God, we believe. Yes, we can see it. That wonders are still what you do. Bodies are still being raised. And giants are still being slain. God, we believe. And yes, we can see it. But wonders are still what you do. We are here for you. Come and do what you do. We are here for you. Come and do what you do. Set our hearts on you. Come and do what you do. We need a move. We need a move. We need a move. We need move. Yes, Lord. We need, come and move, Holy Spirit. Come and move upon your people, Lord.
We need move.
Come and move upon us, Lord God. 'Cause we need move. Yes, Lord. We need move. We need you, Lord. We're going to ground this moment. We're going to ground this moment. And how we're going to ground it is, if the Lord did bring someone to your mind, if somebody flashed through your head, even for a moment, I'm going to nudge the person next to you and take that step of boldness and just say, this is who the Lord laid on my heart. This is the relationship I have with them. And this is what I feel the Lord is asking me to do. Nudge the person next to you. Just ground it. Just ground it. Nudge the person next to you. Even now you can still say, Holy Spirit, who is it? What is it? Just nudge the person and say, this is who I believe the Lord laid on. This is what I believe the Lord wants me to do. Just ground it. And if nobody came to mind, then I believe you just make yourself available to the Holy Spirit. You just say, Holy Spirit, I make myself available to you. I make myself available to you in any situation. So I'm just going to pray as we close. And I want that blessing to rest upon you, that you would make yourself available to the Holy Spirit.